Hello and welcome to the recording for the 1st of November 2020 for the children in the Way group, which is the ones from reception from year 7 to older. However much older you want to get, you can always listen to this. So before we go any further, let's play our little game of guessing. So I'm thinking of something and I'll give you 5 clues to try and work it out. So for 5 points, this is a toy or something that you can play with in the playground or the garden. Yeah, you can find one of these. For 4 points, it provides hours of fun going up and down for all ages. Even adults indulge in playing with this toy. For 3 points, it can be made of plastic, metal, or wood. For 2 points, you hold the rails at the top of this structure. And for 1 point, it has a ladder at the back and a straight part at the front at about a 60-degree angle. So, did you guess what I was thinking of? If you guessed that it was a slide, then you were right. Okay, so well done. Okay, so today we are looking at 2 parables. I'm still using the notes by Swap Meet Dave. And these 2 parables are something that, again, the Jewish people would have been quite used to. The fact of having masters and servants or slaves. From what I can actually understand, the only difference between a slave and a servant is that a servant would get paid, but a slave, his only reward would be the food and shelter he got from his work. So, for the Jews, as I said, this was something that was quite common. Not everybody had servants, but some people did. And sometimes you would have a servant that worked in the field or one that worked in the house, or you would have one that started off in the field, then would get washed and dressed and come into the house to serve the master when he needed food. So the first one that we're going to look at, the first parable, can be found in Luke chapter 17, verse 7 to 10. And it says, suppose one of you has a servant who is plowing or looking after the sheep. When he comes in from the field, do you tell him to hurry along and eat his meal? Of course not. Instead, you say to him, get my supper ready, then put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may have your meal. The servant does not deserve thanks for obeying orders, does he? It is the same with you. When you have done all you have been told to do, just say to yourself, we are ordinary servants. We have only done our duty. So this is really trying to show us what it is like when we are serving and working for God. Just like the servant who has gone into the field and worked for part of the day in the field. And then when the master comes, that servant gets all dressed up and cleaned up and then goes into the kitchen to serve the master. That is his job. That is his duty. So he does not expect special thanks for doing that, because that is just his duty and that is the way life is for him. And for us as well, sometimes when we are doing the things that God asks us to do, we should not expect special thanks and appreciation and acknowledgement for some of the things that God asks us to do. For example, if you were an older brother or even a younger brother and you have to be nice to your sibling, you're not going to get special commendation for doing that. That is the normal way to behave and the normal way to treat other people. So you shouldn't expect special, appreciation for doing that or any special reward for it. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us here, that there are some things that happen in life that we might look at and think, oh, that's not fair, or that's not right, or that is really sort of not fair to me. But really and truly, that is just part of our work or our duty. And we should not sort of question it. We should just be ready to do it. Because the reward, we will not always see the reward in this life. Maybe we'll have to wait until we get to heaven to see the reward. Or maybe we have to wait until when Jesus comes back to judge everybody. And then we will get our reward. But don't sit there waiting to get a reward for doing the right thing or obeying God's commandments. Real disciples of God, they do what they have to do and they see that as their duty. So they don't sit there and sort of give account to God and say, oh, I've done this, so you have to do something for me. God is always doing stuff for us. He's always ready. You know, he gives us the breath we need. He gives us good health. He protects us from so many things that are attacking us, because the devil doesn't sleep. He's always sort of watching over us and helping us to feel good, that we really shouldn't be looking for other material things as a reward for the things that God does for us. I remember when my kids were young and I say that, oh, if you go to school, then I will give you a reward. I will give you some money or something. And my daughter said, no, that's just what I should do. I should go to school and I should be good at school. That's my normal job, my normal duty. You don't have to give me anything extra on top of that. You know, I don't need a reward for doing the right thing. And that really stuck with me a long time. And when I told her that, when she was older, she was like, what? Did I say that? Why did I say that? I should have just taken the sweets and run. But, you know, she was being very, very good and was very influenced by the Lord, obviously, at that time, and didn't feel that she deserved anything extra for just being good and just doing the things that were expected of her. And there are some things that God expects us to do. He expects us to be good and he expects us to do the right thing. He expects us to tell the truth and things like that. And we shouldn't look for any reward above and beyond what he already gives us. The second parable also highlights something else that we are expected to do as Christians. And it can be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and it's verse 23 to 34. The Bible says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a king who decided to check on his servants' accounts. He had just begun to do so when one of them was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. The servant did not have enough to pay his debt, so the king ordered him to be sold as a slave with his wife and his children and all that he had in order to pay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before the king. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you everything.' The king felt sorry for him, so he forgave him the debt and let him go. Then the man went out and met one of his fellow servants who owed him a few dollars. He grabbed him and started choking him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he said. His fellow servant fell down and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had him thrown into jail until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were very upset and went to the king and told him everything. So he called the servant in. 'You worthless slave,' he said. 'I forgave you the whole amount you owed me just because you asked me to. You should have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you.' The king was very angry and he sent the servant to jail to be punished until he should pay back the whole amount." So this is one of the parables that that Jesus told. And again, he was using familiar things to people, and they would have really, really understood this. And some things really stand out to me here. Because if we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 to 15, that's when Jesus is telling us how to pray and how to use the Lord's Prayer. And in that, it talks about the catch in the Lord's Prayer. There's a little bit of a tricky situation in the Lord's Prayer where we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That is very, very powerful. But it's putting all the work on us of whether we are forgiven the sins that we commit before God. So we are saying, if I do not forgive someone else, then God should not forgive me. And if I do forgive that person, then God should forgive me. So that is really, really putting ourselves in quite a catch, because it means that we should be quick to forgive other people. And God will be quick to forgive us. Mark chapter 11, verse 26 also say that if you do not forgive, if you refuse to forgive somebody or someone in your life, then God, who is your Father, will also not forgive you. So again, that's just buttressing the point that the power is really in our hands. We have to forgive other people. And when we forgive other people, God is quick and faithful to forgive us, and he will forgive us totally. Because if we look at that first servant, he owed millions of dollars, the Bible says, and he was forgiven everything. And the words that he used, be patient with me and I will pay you everything, are exactly the same words that are used when the other servant was talking to him. And this other servant only owed him a few dollars. But he went to choking the man and went to grabbing him and treating him severely. And it was just unnecessary. And then the other servant uses the same words. Be patient with me and I will pay you everything. But he doesn't forgive him. And because of that, the king then comes back and says, well, if you're not prepared to forgive someone who owes you only a few dollars, and I have forgiven you this whole big amount, then you have to pay everything you owe me. So he's put himself in a prison because he refused to forgive someone else. And that's what happens sometimes in our spirit. If we do not forgive people, we put ourselves in a prison, because that bitterness and the hatred that comes with not forgiving other people stays with us, and it can really affect our lives. Which is why we should be quick to forgive people that hurt us or they do us wrong, so that God can be quick and find it easy to forgive us. Because sometimes the thing that makes forgiving other people hard is that we do not see God's answers and to our prayers, and sometimes we don't see God rewarding us, and we don't see him punishing bad people. So we become a little bit bitter and we're twisted and we're annoyed by this. And all of those negative feelings fester and they take away our peace. Because one of the joys we have of forgiving other people is the peace that comes with knowing we're in the right place with God. So that makes it worthwhile to forgive other people. Because sometimes we just want to see the bad guy get what's coming to him. But that's not always going to happen now. That might only happen when Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead, when he comes for his second coming. So we should be quick to forgive other people, and we should try to forget when they have done us wrong. But the only way to do that is to spend time in God's presence and to try and build on the fruits of the Spirit, which is one of the things we've covered earlier on this year. So we should use those qualities and the characteristics that Jesus brings into our lives when we give our life to him. He brings these qualities that are difficult and maybe even impossible for us to imagine doing, but with his help, they are possible and we can do it. So be encouraged. If you have a difficult sibling or somebody who's in your life who you find it difficult to forgive them, Try and let them go. Work hard and ask God to help you to let them go and to forgive them. You will find such peace at the end of it, and you will feel a lot better. And you're also opening the door for Jesus to forgive you, for God to forgive you when you do something wrong, because we're always doing something wrong. So I hope those two parables about the servants have been a blessing to you, and that you've learned something interesting from them. Do take care, because schools are still open, even though we're in a lockdown. The rest of the country, do wash your hands. Don't put your hands in your mouth or your nose or your eyes. Just wash your hands often, and take care. Look after yourself and the other people around you. Make sure that you're good to yourself, and that you make sure that you're mentally stable and mentally happy, as well as physically strong. So God bless you, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.